Daf is Daf Gimel. So we got to the last three lines of Beis Mem Beis. The Gemara says, "Amar li Rav Masna Labaye, ha tamni haven, tarti sari haven." So the Gemara had mentioned, the Mishnah had mentioned that there really there are eight cases of the Hotzah. So the Gemara says, really there are 12 cases. So it's a little bit confusing going through each one, but we'll try to do the best we can. So there are four situations where someone will be chayiv. So there's the Baal Bayis who does both the Akir Hanacha. Either he takes the item and brings it out, he does both Akir Hanacha, or he brings the item in, and the Ani just kind of stands there as a statue. So the Baal Bayis is chayiv in both those cases, and the Ani is patur in both those cases. And then you have the case where the Ani is the one doing Akir Hanacha. He's either taking the item from outside to inside, or he's taking from inside to outside. So that's a kira v'nacha both by the ani. So those are four cases where either the Baal Bayis is chayiv or where the ani is chayiv, and the other party involved is mamish mutter. He's not involved at all. So those are four cases. But then you have the other four cases where one does a kira, one does hanacha. So now the Baal Bayis is doing a kira, the ani is doing a hanacha. So those are four cases. But each of the four cases, there are two parties involved there. So one's doing a kira, one's hanacha. So that really ends up being eight cases. Four cases that explain to affect eight different people. So now we have the four cases in the first scenario, and then eight people in the second scenario. That's really a total of 12 perspectives, not eight perspectives like the Mishnah presents. So Gemara again asks, "Hatamnia havi? Are those really eight different scenarios? Tarti sari havi? There's really a total of 12." And then Gemara says, "Wait a second. Ulatameich shitzar havi? There are really 16 because in really totality there are eight cases." But there's two parties in every case. So there are really 16, 8 and 2 on each side. So there really should be 16. In the case where the four are chayiv, the ani is chayiv and hachnasa hotza, the Baal Bayis is chayiv, hachnasa and hotza, but the other party involved who's not doing anything at all, but he's still involved, Eid Nachanam, he's pater, but he should still be involved. We still have to assess 16 different people in these different scenarios. And so the Gemara says, Amar Lei, holakasha, this is not a problem because Bishma, I understand, Baba Dereisha, the first case, when we say that the Baal Bayis is doing both the Akira and the Hanach, he's doing everything, he's completely chayiv, that the other party, the Ani, is not part of the, he's not on the radar, because he's completely putter, he's mutter, he just stands there like a statue. So Baba the Reisha, the first case of the Reisha, it's putter umutter lo katani. The Mishnah was not addressing a case where someone's mutter, the Mishnah was only addressing a case where someone's either chayiv or putter of al-asr. When a person's pater umutter, such as the case where the Ani just stands as a statue, and the Baal Bayis is doing the Akira Hanacha, or the Ani is doing the Akira Hanacha, the Baal Bayis stands there as a statue, is completely pater mutter, that was never on the radar. So we can knock off four of the cases easily, so we're back down to 12. So the Gemara again says, Baba the Resha, where the one party is completely chayiv, and the other party is pater umutter, lokatani, that wasn't part of it. Elababa the Seifa, where one party is doing Akira, the other party is doing a Hanacha, so the Pater of Al-Asr, even though they're Pater for only doing half a Melacha, but still Asr to do such a thing, Kasha, so there should really be 12 scenarios, not 8 scenarios. So the Gemara just kind of goes slightly on a side point and brings back to the answer. Gemara says, Mi ikam b'chuli Shabbos, is there any situation on Shabbos that we say Pater or Mutter? That there's so many cases that you say pater mutter. We have a klal throughout all of Hilchos Shabbos. V'ha'amar Shmuel. Shmuel tells us, kol paturi de Shabbos. Whenever it says pater on all the Mishnahs and Shabbos, it always means pater aval aser. You're pater from a carbon. You're pater from a punishment. But still aser to do this, bar mehani tlas, except for three. There are three cases where we say pater umutter. But this case of Hotzah Shabbos is not a case of pater mutter. So if it says pater in the case of the Mishnah, it should be pater val aser. How could they say this is pater umutter? So what are the three cases where we say pater umutter? Gemara says tzedas tzvi, tzedas nachash, and mapis mursa. What are the cases? Tzedas tzvi, the situation is, the Gemara explains on the end of the Masechta, that let's say a tzvi runs into my house, a deer runs into my house, and I sit and block the entranceway. I just trap the tzvi, I'm chayv chatas. Let's say now another person sits in front of me or back of me. So his sitting, it doesn't make a difference because I'm already blocking the doorway. Now I get up, and the second guy remains sitting there now. So now he's currently blocking the tzvi. The second guy is actually pater or mutter because he didn't do a thing. And that's one case where it's pater or mutter. Second case is tzedas nachash, catching a snake because you're scared he's going to bite, he's going to injure, perhaps kill someone. That's also, you're permitted, even though normally you can't capture animals. When it comes to a nachash, you're permitted to. That's pater umutter. And the third case is mapis mursa. A person has a pimple of some sort and you want to squeeze it to make a hole to let all the pus come out. That's also considered pater umutter. So these are three cases of pater umutter. Our case of Tzah, where the Babayis, let's say, does a Kira Nacha, and not only stands here as a statue, that's not Pater Mutter, that would be Pater Abal Aser. And the Gemara responds back and says, no, Ki Yitzrech LeShmuel, when Shmuel says statement that there are only three cases in Pater or Mutter, Pater or Mutter, that's only Ptura Dekav and Maisa. That's when a Mais is involved, you could still say Pater Mutter when there's a Mais involved, like catching a tree and catching a Nachash and like squeezing a pimple, popping a pimple. But Ptura Delokav and Maisa. Ptura, where a guy is not doing any action, stands there like a statue, Ikatuvi, there are many instances where it's Pater Mutter. When Ani stands there like a statue, there's no Maisa done at all, that's Pater Mutter, along on a long list of other examples, with a non-action will be Pater Umutter. Either way, we addressed how the four cases were not addressed. Four of the cases don't need to be addressed in the Mishnah. When the Baal Bayis or the Ani is doing a full Akir Nanacha, the other party, which is simply catching the item, holding the item, being a receptacle for the item, those are Pater Mutter, not on the list of the Mishnah. But still, we said we have 12 cases, not 8 cases, as the Mishnah presents. So Gemara says, Mikol Makom Tarti Sarin Havi, there's still 12. So how come they're 12 and not 8? How come they're 8 and not 12? And the Gemara says, "Pture de ase behuli de chiv chatas." So then, that's a kachashiv. De lo ase behuli de chiv chatas lo kachashiv. We only counted the situation where it's an iser that could lead to chatas. So when the Babayis does an akira and the ani does a hanacha, so when the Babayis does an akira, there's still a chashash. He might go ahead and do a hanacha as well. So that's where it goes there, pater val aser, that might lead to a chatas. But when the ani is simply doing hanacha, he's just taking it and catching it, a hanacha can never lead to a chiv chatas because it never was preceded by the akira from the perspective of the ani. So even though you're right, when the ani or the babayis is simply doing the hanacha, and that is pater aval aser, but since it will never lead to a chiv chatas, that was not addressed in the mission. That's how the Gemara concludes. So there's a lot to talk about here. The Pnei Yeshua says that when it comes to Akir v'Hanacha, we say one does an Akir, one does Hanacha, it's Pater Val Aser. You need to do both the Akir and Hanacha to be Chai v'Chatas. The Pnei Yeshua says even though that's true, one who does an Akir alone or a Hanacha alone, that still is an Isser Deraisa. When the Gemara says it's Pater from a Karban, it's Pater from a Chiv Karis, but it still would be an Isser Deraisa. The Rashash is different. The Rashash says it's only in both cases Akira or Hanacha are alone, are both Aser, but it's only an Issa Deraisa for the Akira, but it's not an Issa Deraisa of the Hanacha. Why not? Because Akira and Hanacha doing one without the other is a Chatzi Shir, it's half a Melacha. It's a half-baked job. So we have a cloth throughout the Torah, Chatzi Shir, Aser Min HaTorah. Why is a Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah? If I have half a Kazayis of Chelev, it's Aser Min HaTorah, because I might come to eat a full Kazayis, the Gemara says. It's a Siyag that's enlisted by the Torah. Chatzi Shir Aser Min HaTorah, because Chazil Yatzerufe, you could add more to it. So says the Rashash, only if I do an Akira, which is half a job, it can lead to Hanacha. That's the only type of Issa Deraisa, Chazil Yatzerufe. If I'm doing a Hanacha, the second half of the job, I can't retroactively do an Akira before him. So the Pnei Yeshua says the Issa Deraisa is only if you do the Akira, but if you just do the Hanacha, that would only be, at worst, an Isser Midirabbanim. So there's a fascinating Tosus on top here. There's a lot to talk about here. Tosus on the very top says, Baba Deresha, Pater Mutter. So here the Ani just stands still like a statue, and the Babayis does both the Akira and the Hanacha, and he just does nothing. Now he says Pater Umutter from the perspective of the Ani because he did nothing. So Tosus asks the question on top here, Vim Tomar, V'haka Avar Elifnei Iver Lo Tite Michshal? But isn't the Ani by him assisting, by him catching the item from the Babayis? Isn't that him assisting in the Isser? And isn't that a violation of a Lifnei Iver? V'afilu Mayri Shaya Yachol Litla Afilu Lo Haya Biado, Tilo Avar Mishum Lifnei Iver. So he ends up saying that it's not a problem of Lifnei Iver, because Lifnei Iver is only true if, let's say, the Nazir is a classic case. The Nazir can't drink wine. So if I give him wine, I'm the Nazir and Harry's has the wine. If he passed the bottle over to me, that's not Lifnei Iver, because I could have reached it on my own. But let's say he's on the other side of the river and he throws it over to me. I couldn't have had it without him. That would be Lifnei Iver. So in this case, I'm the Ani. I didn't need to stand there for him to put it down. He could have put it down in the... on the walkway if he wanted without me standing there. So I didn't really play a central role, and therefore it's not lifting either. But then Tosa says, Mikomakom, it's still an Isser Midirabanan. Why? Because Ika Shechayev La Frishal Isser. I have an obligation to rebuke him not to do such a thing. I see the Baal Bayis is carrying to Rosh Hashanah. I should say, stop doing it. And instead, I'm standing there like a statue. Don't I have to rebuke him? So that's an Isser Midirabanan. That's what's called Misayeya Bedavar Aveira, helping in the Aveira, even though it's not lifting either, it's still having some assistance. So there's a fascinating Rav Moshe based on this Tosos. He was asked the question, can a caterer rent out his wedding hall to a wedding party that there's going to have mixed dancing? And this sort of dancing, co-ed dancing, girls and boys, men and women, that's usher. So is he allowed to rent out to them? Is he not being misayeh b'davar? Rav Moshe has a nice tshuva. He says, it's not lifnei iver. Because if they don't rent from my hall, they rent from the hall down the block or some other place. So they don't need me. I'm not giving them the only opportunity that exists. There are many other places. Ah, but isn't it a problem of being misayeh b'davar aveira? So Rav Moshe writes, based on a shach, being misayeh b'davar aveira is only true when it comes to a frum yid. A frum yid. When it comes to a person who's a mumar, who's mamish off the derech, he doesn't care what I have to say. That's not being misayeh b'davar aveira. And even if he's a frum Jew, says Rav Moshe, where there is a problem of being misayeh b'davar aveira, it's only true when he's doing something b'shogeg. Accidentally, I can't help him do. But if he's been mated, he's willingly doing an isser, and even though he's a frum guy, but he's doing this particular isser, that chooses not being misayeh b'davar aveira. Misayeh b'davar aveira is only true if it's a guy who's a frum and doesn't know what he's doing, then I can't help him do an aveira. But if he's either not frum at all, or from yet aware that he's doing something wrong, that I would have no problem. But then he says, the Magen Avraham is machmir. The Magen Avraham says, even to help out a mumar would be a problem in Misayeh B'davar Aveira. I can't assist a mumar to do an isser either. So he says, still this will be permitted to rent out the hallway. Because renting out the hallway, the primary reason is to have a chasana, to have a meal, to have music. The primary function isn't to have co-ed dancing, mixed dancing. That happens to be a detail that they're going to add. The issue of Misayeh B'davar Aveira is presenting a situation where he's going to violate an Isser. That's a primary function. By me giving a bottle of wine to the Nazir, so that's a Davar Isser immediately. That's a very clear Davar Isser. But to rent a hall where many things that will be going on will be permitted, and one detail, although an important detail, will be an Isser, but Moshe felt it would be completely permitted to do such a thing. Okay, take a look now at another Tosos, the small Tosos in the Y lines, the Dibra Maskel Umapis Mursa. Mapis Mursa, when you pop open a pimple to get the pus to come out, so that's allowed on Shabbos Gemara says. And with illness, I'm comfortable, but we're not going into the halachic details right now, but look at the very interesting Tosos. Be'edios Tanan Imlasos Lem Pechayv. If the point is to make a hole so that the pus could come out, then you're chayv. Im lahotzi mimenu lecha pat. If you're simply trying to extract the pus, that's fine. But if you're trying to make a very nice hole, so you're chayv. That's the distinction. How you know when it's for the hole, how you know when it's for the pus, fine. But im tomar, heichi mischayv apsichas peh. How by opening up the peh, making a hole in the pimple, how you chayv? Beha amrina lekaman, we're going to see later on, beper chavis. When are you chai for making a hole in something, making a hole in a bag? It's only true, ko pesach she'enu osu lach nishlahotzi enu pesach. Only when a pesach is being made to use as both an entry and an exit are you chai. But if it's only one directional, only to use as an exit, that's not a pesach that you're chai on. So clearly when it comes to pimple, you're making a hole just to extract the pus. That's only to exit. There's nothing that's coming in, so that shouldn't be a real pesach and shouldn't be a chiv chatas. So the Tosa answer is no. The Teretz Rabbeinu Tam, the high nami osu lahachnis avir ulahotzi lecha. No, the point is you want some oxygen, some air to come in somehow. That might be beneficial for the healing process, I don't know. But you want the lecha to leave, you want the avir to come in, and that's considered a Pesach that's meant for lahachnis ulahotzi.
So this type of Pesach is like a bit, this has to be born in?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, right. So now let's go by to the Gemara. The Gemara now halfway down the Amud here. The Gemara says Shneim Pturim. So the Gemara says that if the Ani and the Baal Bayis both contributed to the Melacha, one did an Akira, one did a Hanacha, V'ha Isasol Repater. How could that be? V'ha Isabde Melacha Mibainayu. Didn't they do a Melacha in tandem? So shouldn't that still be a violation? And the Gemara says no. We have a klal that Tanya Rebbe Omer Me'am Ha'aretz Ba'asosa. When a person does a Melacha Asosa, he does it. Ha'oses ha'kula v'lo ha'oses miktsa. So only when you perform a melacha in its entirety is one chayv v'chates. But if one does only partially, so then you're pater. Yachid v'asa osa chayv, shnayim v'asa osa p'turim. If an individual does the melacha in its entirety, is he chayv? But if two people do it in tandem, then one would be pater from a carbon. Now, even though it's pater, we did mention before the Pnei Yeshua and the Rashash, there would seemingly still be an issa deraisa, yet because of chatzis shir, but still it's a p'tur from a carbon. Itmar Nami, who said as well that Amr Rabbi Chiya Bar Gamda Nizrika Mipi Chabura is thrown out from amongst the Chabura that they were learning, and Amru they had said the same cloud Basoso Yochid Shasa Yichayiv Shnaim Shasa, they are Peturin. So Gemara asks a question. So by Minei Rav Mi Rebbe Hitinu Chaveru Ochin Umashkin Votzin Lachutz. So let's say some guy Reuven is standing still. And Shimon comes and loads Reuven's back with some food and some drink. And then Shimon goes ahead and walks out with the thing on his back. So Mahu, is that considered an Akira? Normally Akira is if I pick up an item and I put down an item. Here, I didn't pick it up. It was on my back. Some other guy put it on my back. So is that considered Reuven put it on my back? He did the Akira and by me walking is a Hanako? Or no, when I pick up my body, even though I'm not carrying it, would that be considered the Akira? And later when I stop, would that be Hanacha? So Gemara says, Mahu, Akiras Gufo, lifting up the body, moving the body is considered Akiras Chayfetz Mimkomodami, and then Mechayv or Bechayv when I stop the moving. There was an Akira when I began the walking. There's Hanacha when I stop walking. Oh, Dimolo, or perhaps, no, that would not be the case. That's not called an Akira. I didn't lift anything up at all. So the Gemara says, what's the answer? Amar lei chayv veino doma liyado. One is chayv, lifting my body up would be considered a chayv and considered akira, and it's not similar to a hand. What does it mean it's not considered similar to a hand? My taima, gufo naich, yado lo naich. My body rests. My hand doesn't rest. So let's look at Rashi to explain what's going on with a hand here. Rashi writes four lines up from the bottom here. Veino doma liyado, hapshuto lefnim. If my hand's extended inside the house, the Ani's hand's extended inside the house, v'gufo luchutz, my body's outside in Rishus HaRabim, v'nasun balabayis latocho, and the balabayis places an object in my hand, the pater bay tana demasisin af l'ani shotzia, the Ani is pater. So why is that pater, right? I have my hand inside. So now, when I lift my hand up, shouldn't that be an akira? Right, we say, what's the akira in the Mishnah? That my hand's extended, and you put an object in my hand, so the balabayis is the akira, and when I take it outside, that's hanacha. Why don't I say, when you put it in my hand, and I start moving my hand outside, isn't that an akira of myself? So granted, he did the akira from the floor. But now it's in my hand resting. Now I do an akira, and bring it outside, that's hanacha. Why is it putting my hand on an akira? The Gemara said, my hand is never considered rested. Even though I can stop my hand, it's never considered rested. It's always considered moving, halachically. So even though he put it in, he did the akira, it's considered moving, it's still in the middle of the process, and the hanacha is when I take it outside. When it comes to the body, however, when my body's stationary, then that's considered stationary, but a hand is not. The hand is always considered moving. Just look at Rashi to hopefully make this clear, drive this point home. Yado lo naich, then hand is never considered resting. Hilkach kiotzia, when the Ani took the object outside while it was resting in his hand, lo akramide, that's not called akira. Vein derchotza below akira vanacha, that's just in the middle of the process. However, gufo, says Rashi, naich, my body, and you place food on my back, that's considered rested, agava karka, and that would be havia akira. That's the distinction, says the Gemara. Gemara now says on the top of Amr Beis, Amr lei, Rabbi Chila Raf, Bar Pachti, lo amina lecha, did I not tell you, ki koi Rebbe boha masechta, did I not tell you that when Rebbe's learning a particular masechta, lo tishai lebe masechta achrisi, don't ask him from another Masechta. We have a klal, the Gemara B'Metzia says, you have to focus, not every Rebbe is able to learn Kol HaShas all the time, Kol HaTorah Kula in his hands. He's focused on Shabbos, he's focused on B'Metzia, asking a different question, it's not fair to him. They're not expected to know everything so clearly. So Dilma Lava Daite, perhaps he wasn't aware of this Halacha on Shabbos, it wasn't just so upfront in his mind. And Dilav, the Rebbe Gavir Avahu, and had he not been a great gadol, Kasafta, he would have been embarrassed had he not known the answer, and perhaps he would have given an answer to protect his own shame. Dimashani lecha shenuya dilav shenuyahu. He would have given an answer that was incorrect just to protect his shame. Sometimes you get asked a question and you don't want to like pretend you don't know the answer, so you make up some answer, and it might be wrong. So it's not fair to put a rabbi in such a position like that. So the Gemara says, now obviously the rabbi should say the words, I don't know. He should become the thing, I don't know the answer, but not every rabbi has that pride to be able to do that. So the Gemara says, but Hashta, however, mias shaper mishan. He gave you a good answer. His answer was actually correct. Because there's the Bryce said, the Tanya, hayatan ochlin umashkin, a guy who was carrying food and water, liquid on his back, mibod yom from before Shabbos, v'otzir l'chutz mishach hashecha, and then he started walking when the sun set, he's chayv, l'fish eno dom aliado, because the body is considered rested, even though the hand isn't, the body is, when you pick up your body to move, that's called an akira and hanacha, so in fact, he was correct, Rebbe was correct in giving the answer based on this Bryce. It's actually interesting, based on this idea that you can't ask a Rav in a Masechta that he's not holding in that current time, the Sefer Chassidim says Hilcha Shabbos is one exception. Why? Because we say every single Friday night, not in Nusach Svar, but in Ashkenaz, we say Bamem Alikin. Why? Because there's a concept to learn in Chazer Hilcha Shabbos every single Friday, every single Shabbos. The Gra was known for when he checked his pockets before leaving outside, making sure he wasn't carrying anything, he chazered all Hilchos Shabbos, and he didn't have that many pockets, and even if he did have a lot of pockets, to do that obviously is a feat we can't imagine, but the Gra would chazer all of Hilchos Shabbos as he prepared for Shabbos itself. So there's a concept to learn Erev Shabbos, the Halachas of Shabbos. That being said, so the Sefer Chassidah, the one of the Sfarim right in the back, that the idea is, since a person's expected to know Hilchos Shabbos so clear, that's never considered off-topic. You could always ask a Rav about topic in Hilchos Shabbos. The problem is, this Gemara is talking about Hilchos Shabbos. And yet the Gemara says, you shouldn't have asked him this question. Had you not known? So I'm not sure how he deals with that. But either way, it's an interesting concept. Nonetheless, that Hilchos Shabbos should always be in our mind, because it's, of course, so frequent, and it's also so challenging, and the risk, the punishment is so severe, so we need to be very careful with Hilchos Shabbos. Okay, the Gemara now says Vayter. Amar Abaye. Abaye says around 7 lines down in the 2 dots. Abaye says, Pshita li is obvious to me. Yado shel adam eino lo kerishus harabim v'lo kerishus hayachim. It's obvious to me that the hand is not does not go baser where the body is. So when the body is in rishus harabim, on the ani, my hand is on the inside, we don't view my hand as part of rishus harabim. Because had we done that, when the Abaye places my hand, even though it's inside the house, if it's viewed as Rishis Rabim, he should get a Hotzah Malacha, a placing in my hand, which is Rishis Rabim. Must be, the hand goes based on where it is, and not based on where the body is. The Gemara says it's true that the hand does not go based on Rishis Rabim, lo Kirishis Yachid either. And the Gemara explains, Kirishis Rabim, we don't view the Yado as following where the body is Rishis Rabim, lo Damya, Miyado, the Ani. We learn that from an Ani, because even though the Ani is standing outside and his hand is inside, we don't view the hand as being Rishis Rabim. And that's when the Ba'abai places it in the hand of the Ani, everything's fine. And we also don't view Kirishis Yachel Lo Damya Miyado the Ba'abai. That the Ba'abai is sticking his hand outside, we don't view the hand as being Rishis Yachel, we view it as Rishis Rabim. So when the Ani drops something in the Ba'abai's hand, it's Rishis Rabim to Rishis Rabim, it's not considered Rishis Yachel. So that's the klal. The Yad is considered a separate entity, a separate domain than the body. So Abaye Yado Sha'adam them, Mao Shetasa Kikarmless. So do we then view this as a karmless mikansura banil hadure lagabe olov? So what does this question mean? So take a look at Rashi. It's a pretty long Rashi, but let's understand what's going on here. Rashi says, "Bay Abai asks Abai, Hashid chazina and la basa gufa shadinale." Now that we've established that the hand does not follow the domain in which the body stands in, leading ichiyuve deraisa to be mechayv deraisa level alma if legreshusa. The yad is considered a separate domain from the body. So now the Rashi explains, "Mi achmor Allah rabbanim." Are the rabbanim going to be stringent? Lemehave karmas. Are they going to maybe make the yad like a karmless at least, like a karmless is, which is a we discussed yesterday. There's rishus yachid, there's rishus rabbim, and there's a karmless which is not a rishus yachid, but also doesn't meet the standards of rishus rabbim. It doesn't have 16 amos wide roads. It doesn't have 600,000 people. So somewhere in the middle. So do we view this yad as at least a karmelis? The hecha, the hoshit yad, milea l'rishus acheres. The din is, if a person extends his hand into a different rishus, lo yachzirna etzlo, we don't let him return it back. V'tehei kach pshuta achetechshach. The din is, if a guy puts his hand, he carries something to another rishus, we make him hold it there the rest of Shabbos because he did it in Isser. You should not bring an object from one rishus to another rishus. So he stands there the rest of Shabbos like that. To review that, since his hand went to another house, it's considered a separate entity. The gazer rishus medivayim l'shabbos she'asa lahachnis lahotzi mimenu the rishus yachad with rishus rabbim u'shimo karmelis. They said that even though a karmelis is an area that's not a rishus yachad, nor is it rishus rabbim, chachamim were gozer that takes on a different entity. So the question becomes: do we say when the guy puts his hand the yad inside the house, he's putting it inside? Do we now say, you know what, he's stuck there for all of Shabbos? Or no, he could bring it back outside. How do we view this? Because he's standing on, he's in Rosh Hashanah right now. He puts his hand inside. So how do we view it? Is he stuck for Shabbos, or can you bring it back to him? That's the question the Gemara is asking. So the Gemara says, Toshma, HaYisah Yadam Malei HaPeros. The guy's holding a handful of fruit. V'hotzi L'chutz, and he sticks his hand outside. So what's the din? Can he bring it back to him or not? And the Gemara says there are two brises that say different things. Tani Cha, the one brise says, Asr Lachzir, you can't bring it back. You're stuck there for the rest of Shabbos. V'tani Idach, Mutar Lachzir, the other one says, he can bring it back to him. So what's the machlok? It's my lav. Is it not that they're arguing about Kimiflagi? Are they not arguing about the following din? Demar Savar Ki Karmelis Damyo, Mar Savar Lav Ki Karmelis Damyo. One holds it's like a karmelis, in which case when he puts his hand into another Rishus, he's stuck there forever. He stepped out forever until the end of Shabbos. The other one says, no, when your hand extends to another Rosh Hashanah, that's not really considered a karmelis. Of course, you can bring it back. So that this machlok is goof for the shayla of Abaye. That's the Gemara's initial suggestion. So then the Gemara says, Ibai same, alternatively. Wait a second. No, we're going to say, lo, not true. Chuli alma ki karmelis dami. Everyone agrees that when you put your hand in another Rosh Hashanah, we view that as a karmelis. And therefore, seemingly, it should be usher to bring your hand back to the rishus that you're currently in. So how come one thinks you're allowed to bring your hand back? For lokasha. Kan lemata me'asara, kan lemala me'asara. So we haven't seen these dinim just yet. But when it comes to rishus ha-yachid, my property, my private domain, rishus ha-yachid goes al rakia. That din goes all the way up to shemayim. When it comes to rishus ha-rabim, rishus ha-rabim only goes 10th vachim, which is not very high. So 10th vachim could be like this high, maybe. Above that, that's not rishus ha-rabim anymore. So above that's called Makum Patur. It's a different topic we'll go into greater detail. So when they establish Karmelis to take on this new Rishus, it has on a din of a Rishus Rabim. So if, again, let's say an example of a Rishus Rabim would be a forest. A forest is not a private domain, but it's not a public domain either because they're not 16,000 people, there are no 16 amos wide roads, so it's a Karmelis. But a Karmelis cannot be more Machmer than Rishus Rabim. So just like Rishus Rabim only goes 10 Tvachim high, so the karmelis can only go 10 tefachim high. So therefore, if I'm putting my hand out into a karmelis above 10 tefachim, that's not a karmelis anymore. That's called a makom patur, just like a neutral territory, no man's land there. A makom patur is a fourth of rishus. So if I'm putting my hand below 10 tefachim in a karmelis, that's like a rishus rabim. I'm stuck there for the rest of Shabbos. I'm putting my hand above 10 tefachim, there's no rishus rabim above 10 tefachim, which means there's no karmelis either above 10 tefachim, then I may return my hand back to where I am. So that's what the Gemara suggests is the difference between the two prices. One's above 10 tefachim, one below 10 tefachim. V'ibayseima, alternatively, the Gemara suggests, M'eima, ibayseima, idi v'idi l'mata me'asar. Both cases are when it's below 10 tefachim. Ah, so if it's below 10 tefachim, isn't that a karmelis then? And how can I return it back to me? V'lavka karmelis damya, it's not like a karmelis. V'lo kasha, there is no question here. Kan mi be'odiyom, kan mishachashecha. When did I extend my hand? One opinion is I extended my hand before Shabbos. I left it there until after Shabbos began. So now can I return it back or not? And the other case is where I only extended my hand the first place when Shabbos already has begun. So what's the difference whether when I put my hand out first? Look what Mark explains. If it's mibod yom, if I put my hand out on Erev Shabbos and I left it there when Shabbos began, lo kantzu rabbanan, there's no knas. Because the akira took place on Erev Shabbos. So akira, a hanacha without akira isn't a melacha. So I did an akira on Friday. I left it there for 10 minutes, Shabbos start. I can bring it back now because all it is a hanacha on Shabbos. That's completely fine. There's no knas. However, when it comes to mishachashecha, if I only after the sunset, I put my hand out into this karmelis, then they're kansu rabbanim. They'd stay there forever. Because since I did an akira on Shabbos, if I pull back, I'm going to do a hanacha as well on Shabbos, and that would be a problem. There were goes there. They were penalized in that case. That's when you need to leave your hand the rest of Shabbos. So the Gemara then says, Adarabba, Ipcha Mestavra, the opposite makes sense. Mibod Yom, the Gemara is going with this, I'll say it outside first. Really, Mibod Yom, if I put my hand out Erev Shabbos, that's when I should leave my hand there all of Shabbos. Because worst case scenario, let's say I end up dropping it. Okay, so I drop it, there was no violation. But let's say it was Shabbos, Mishachashecha. I put my hand, I did an Akira. So let me bring it back. Because if I don't bring it back, if I end up dropping it in that area, I actually am violating a chiv chatas now, because I did a full akira hanacha. Pulling it in and out, that's not an akira hanacha. Like sticking my hand over the fence and back, that's not an akira hanacha. But if I do akira, and then I drop in that new rishus, that's a chiv chatas. So they don't want me being chayv a chiv chatas. So dafka, when it's dark, if I did an akira with mishach hashecha, they said, you know what, pull your hand back quickly before you drop it in a chayv chatas. That's why I should be able to bring it back. But when that akira took place in mibod yom, so I should stay there forever, until Shabbos is over. Because worst case scenario, if I drop it, okay, there's no chiv chatas, because in the mibod yom case, the akira took place in mibod yom, and there's no mlacha of hotzah without there being an akira on Shabbos itself. So let's see that inside. The Gemara again says, Adirabim ipcha misavra, the opposite makes more sense. Mibod yom, if I did the akira on mibod yom, that should be, I should remain and keep my hand there till the end of Shabbos. Because the ishadilei, even if I do throw it down in that next rishus, lo asali de chiv chatas, there's no chiv chatas, because the akir was not on Shabbos. Liknesu rabbanim, that's where rabbanim should penalize me. But mishach hashecha, when it gets dark, and that's when I did the akira, di shadilei, if I do drop it in that other rishus, asli behuli de chiv chatas, that's going to lead to chiv chatas. And chacham don't want me to be chiv chatas, lo liknesu rabbanim, and the chacham don't want to penalize me in that case, so they should allow me to bring it back to avoid being a chiv chatas. That's what the Gemara suggests, at least. But with the fact that we don't answer this way, then, meaning we say that we do penalize in the case where I had the Akira, which means that even though I might lead to a Chiv Chatas, they said, we don't care, you are penalized, the penalty is more important than the Chiv Chatas. So then we can answer another question the Gemara says as follows. What would happen, the Gemara says, Hachi tifsho the Rav Bibi bar Abaye. Let's answer his question. The Bai Rav Bibi bar Abaye, Hidbik, this becomes a very, very important sugya in many, many areas of halacha. Hidbik pas betanur. Let's say Ruvain had put some bread, some pita bread, lafa, on the inside of the oven. Hitir lo lirdoso, kodem, shiavo li dechiv chatas. Allah hitir. So now, to remove the bread on the walls of the oven is a, not a malacha. But it's a certain chachma, it's an isser midraban to do. You have to really fashion and kind of scoop it out. It's a real chachma. It's like blowing shofar, the Gemara says, which is a certain chachma. You don't do that on Shabbos. So now, for me, I see that Reuven put it in. Now, if the food ends up baking, he's chayv achatas. If it doesn't bake, he's not chayv. So what happens if a person puts dough in the bread, and the dough in the oven, and he takes that before it bakes? Is he chayv or not chayv? Then he's not chayv. Not chayv until something bakes, until something cooks. Putting it in a position where it can bake, so that's not a problem. Only when you let it bake. So now, if I see a guy put dough in the oven, I should certainly take out the dough so he doesn't get a chiv chatas. But let's say it's clinging, it's stuck against the wall of the oven. And that's called the rediyas hapas, removing it. That takes a certain chachma, a certain skill. That's an issur midrabanan for me to do. Can I do an issur midrabanan to help prevent Reuven, my friend, from getting a chiv chatas? Because if it remains there, he's getting a chatas. He's getting carbon. So maybe I should take one for the team, based on last night. Take one for the team. And that was part of Rebbe's message last night. So the Rediyas HaPas, to do an Issur Midrabanan, to prevent my chaver from getting a chiv chatas. That's the Shiloh. And the Gemara says, we shouldn't, because Chacham would say, we're going to penalize the guy who put his hand out. We're penalizing him, even though it might lead to a chiv chatas, we don't care. So I cannot... I'll get penalized as well if I'm going to prevent him from getting chiv chatas. Meaning, the Issur Midrabanan stands, and I should not take one for the team to prevent him from getting chiv chatas. I just stay quiet and just let it be. Now, this serves, as I said, very, very important halacha in many areas of helping rebuke people and preventing people from being from violating chiv chatas. I don't have to be moser nefesh myself to get an Issur just to stop someone else from getting a more serious Issur. Gemara says, from the fact that we don't answer above that way, must be that you should not do Rediyas HaPas to prevent the guy from being a Chiv Chatas. Tifsho, to lo hatir, it's not allowed. And the Gemara says, no, holokasha v'tifsho. Gemara says, maybe it's not a question. Maybe you're right. Maybe the answer, it's still unclear from that Gemara. We don't have a good answer of the two brises about the guy put his hand in the karmelis. Can he bring it back? Can he not bring it back? There's no real answer above, and therefore we can't answer this question here either about whether or not Rediyas HaPas is permitted to prevent the individual from getting a chiv chatas. The Gemara now goes back to other suggestions of how to deal with when the guy puts his hand out to the other rishus. Can he return it or can he not return it? The Gemara now says around 8 lines up, V'ibay zema li'olam lo tifshim. Really not to answer. V'lo kasha, there's no stira. Kan b'shogeg, kan b'mezim. When the guy put his hand to the other rishus, when we allow him to bring it back or not, depends how he brought it over in the first place. If he did it b'shogeg or mimezid. If it's a situation b'shogeg, he accidentally carried the fruit to the adjacent property. Lo kansu rabban. The guy was shogeg. Let him be. He's allowed to bring it back. The guy willingly b'mezid, he put the fruit over the next property. There kansu rabban. There he was penalized, and he must remain that way till the end of Shabbos. V'bayseima. Alternatively, idi b'shogeg. Both cases are when he accidentally carried the pears over to the next rishus. Are we going to penalize a guy who did something shogeg lest it lead to him doing a b'mezid? Or no, they're two different cases. So the Gemara says, Mar Saver Kansu Shogeg Al Tumezid. We do penalize the guy, even though doing something with shogeg isn't so bad, we still have to give him a penalty lest he do it next time b'mezid. In Mar Saver Lo Kansu Shogeg Al Tumezid, we don't penalize the guy who's doing something with shogeg. We're not concerned it's going to lead to a mezid. And the Gemara gives the last answer, going on to Dala now, V'bayseima, the Olam Lo Kansu, really, we do not penalize him. For Lo Kasha, there is no contradiction at all. Kan L'Osa Chatzer, Kan L'Chatzer Acher. So it depends, when he brings it back, is he bringing it back to his original Chatzer, where it initially was, or when he brings it back, is he bringing it back to another one? So when Brisa says, Mutal HaChatzer, means you're allowed to bring it back to the original Chatzer you're in. When it says, Asal HaChatzer, means you can't bring it back to a different Chatzer. How do we see this? And the Gemara says, "Kidibai minei Rava, mi Rav Nachman, ha'isa yadam lea peres." A guy's hand is full of fruit. He's holding a thing of fruit. Ve'otzi l'chutz. He takes it outside. Ma'al lachzir l'osa chutzah. Can you bring it back to that very chutzah he's standing in? And amr lei mutter. It's allowed to l'chutzah acheres ma'al. Can you bring it to a different chutzah? Amr lei also. That's prohibited. Ma'isha. What's the difference? L'chitecha Allah kora demilcha. So I'll tell you when you fill up a thing of salt. So this is always like a thing. The Gemara. It's like a little phrase. The Gemara says. So Rashi says a little bit dichus, a little joke here. Fill up some salt for me, I'll tell you the answer. Do a little service for me, I'll tell you the answer. Okay, so what's the answer? What's the difference between my Otsa Chatzar versus a Chatzar Acheres? Hasam lo isabi machshavaso. Ha'cha isabi machshavaso. Meaning when I bring it back to my Chatzar, my machshava wasn't complete. I wanted to bring the fruit to some other place. When I bring it back home, everything was undone. I didn't accomplish anything. If I am allowed to bring it to a different chatzer, now even though the chatzer might be part of an eruv, I'm in chatzer A, I'm next to a chatzer B here. So I'm standing in chatzer A, I bring it over to that rishus, I bring it back to chatzer A, nothing was accomplished. But if I'm allowed to now go from chatzer A to chatzer B, I've accomplished transferring it to a different rishus. In that case, that's not allowed because I was able to accomplish something and that they penalize in that case. You can bring it back to your rishus, but you can't bring it back to an adjacent chatzer. Okay, we'll stop here. Another plug for Zichu, those guys should do it. I'm happy someone